Reading from the Narada Bhakti Sutras, text 60. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Shanti Rupa Paramananda Rupa Cha. Furthermore, bhakti is the embodiment of peace and supreme ecstasy. Purpose. This sutra is further proof that bhakti is the best process for spiritual advancement. Lord Krishna's personal form and varied activities attract his devotees who experience a love filled with shanti, peace, and paramananda, supreme ecstasy. Indeed, the very nature of bhakti is peace and happiness. In the Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna tells us who is eligible for shanti. Bhoktaram yagyatapasam sarvaloka maheshwaram suryadam sarva bhutanam yatvamam shanti richati. One in full consciousness of me, knowing me to be the ultimate beneficiary of all sacrifices and austerities, the supreme lord of all planets and demigods, and the benefactor and well-wisher of all devotees, of all living entities, attains peace from the pangs of material miseries. Are you comfortable here? You sure? Okay. Srila, what? Yeah, I need 1 second here. Yeah, just... Srila Prabhupada calls this the peace formula, the sure method for achieving both individual and collective tranquility. When people who temporarily control some property ignore the Lord's proprietorship of all that be and claim that they themselves are the sole proprietor and enjoyers of the world, and when people in positions of late leadership claim to be the best friends of their dependents, but fail to give them a chance to acquire transcendental knowledge, and the result is not peace, but agitation, chaos, and war. Peace comes when we recognize Lord Krishna as a supreme ruler and proprietor and friend. Okay, good. Om Jnana Timurandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Daksurundasamyena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Atitam Yena Bhutale Chayam Rupa Kadamayam Tadati Sapadantikam Panchakalpa Tarubhyascha Kripasindurubhaye Vicha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Sri Vasudevor Bhaktavinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, greetings from the San Paul. I just came back from New York City. Usually up here I don't have an audience, but I've been graced by the visit of Mama Kalini and Sudevi from Gidanagari. I wasn't able to give the class last week. I was in Reading, Pennsylvania. Viti Viti Achi Yati Nagarati Ram. In every town and village, you know, there's devotees of Krishna. And I know in Pennsylvania there's a joke. What's Pennsylvania? It's Pittsburgh and Philadelphia with Alabama in between. And but it was so nice, 25 people. And it was on Wednesday, so I couldn't give this class. And then I went to Washington and organized a program with Radhanath Swami. I was as a professor for a couple of years that I've been, comes to see me. She has a meditation center in the middle of Washington. So we organized a program, a little bit of an exclusive program. And Henry came with some of his friends. And then the next day on my way out, I stopped at Gauravani's house. And he has that very nice program. Then on Sunday, I visited Radha Govinda Mandir for the first time in a real long time. And, because I actually used to live there and preach, you know, people were quite happy to see me after so many years there. And Indradyumna Swami gave class on Radha Govinda. And Bibi Govinda Swami leads the... Just, he's got talent, but he's so thoughtful. And just to see the when people hear that holy name chanted in a pure way, how deeply it touches their hearts. They're dancing and chanting in ecstasy, and then I stayed till about 11:45 for Sanantana Chutta chant before the deities, and that's real chanting. Real chanting is when you chant for the pleasure of Krishna and not for your benefit in any way. And that's what real bhakti is. Happiness in bhakti is the happiness of your beloved. Love is happiness. And that's the you know, this is the Narada Bhakti Sutras, and that's what it's really discussing. And that's the real challenge. The real challenge is we are here in the material world, and we have a body for karma. And what is karma? Karma means to act selfishly. It means to put yourself in the center and try to get things for yourself. Of course, we can get things for ourselves, but for a purpose of serving Krishna. We don't want to renounce things that we need, but there's no use for getting anything if we don't have an objective to serve Krishna. Then we can take what we need. We shouldn't misunderstand that and have falgu vairagya, false renunciation, where we give up things that we need to be psychologically, physically, mentally, socially happy. But there has to be objective, otherwise there's no use. It's like the hand and the body. Clean the hand. Repair the hand. But if it's not being used for the body, that's useless. But once it's used for the body, once it's connected to the body, then it's very important to take care of the hand. So we stress that connection, but we don't neglect the care. Take as much as you need. For the higher purpose, jivasya tattva jigyasa, that life is inquiring into this truth, into this proper understanding. Because without the proper understanding, you can't do the proper thing. Without doing the proper thing, you can't have the proper life. Proper understanding, it's not a question of great scholarship. It's a question of basic, simple understanding that we're a servant of Krishna, which means we're not the body, and it means we're not God, and it means that God is not material. It's a simple thing. And when you have a depth of that understanding, then you can begin to develop love for Krishna. A Mayavadi cannot develop love for Krishna. Of course, he has the wrong understanding. So this is what Prabhupada gave in a very simple way. We all see that. It's not like someone sits on their Vyasasan and chants a lot of verses and he has a lot of knowledge. It's, on the other hand, if he studied the Shastra for the purpose of application and realizing the Shastra, one can become a great devotee. So this Dharana Bhakti Sutra, it's about bhakti. It's about devotion. It's about what happens when you actually understand that you're not the body, you're a spiritual being, you're a part of the divine spiritual being, and you're meant for his service. And you embrace that position, and you surrender to Krishna, understanding that you're not the center, and therefore you're not the controller, therefore you're not the enjoyer. But you're part of something greater, and you're supposed to serve that which is greater. And when you have that conception, when you have that idea, and you want, when you make that determination, something very, very wonderful happens to you. And what happens is the energy of love that connects you to the divine, that gives you that gives pleasure to the divine, flows through your heart and unleashes that old energy in your own heart that flows to the divine. So this Bhakti Sutra is discussing this principle of prema, that it's the topmost love. This is what bhakti is. It's the topmost love for God. And it flows through your heart. So now in this section, he was discussing grades of love. And even warned that our devotion, which is only for Krishna, where we're serving God in that conception, where we're firmly situated in that understanding of who we are, Jivera Srupahoy Nichera Krishnadas, that we're the servant of Krishna, that can be mixed with material consciousness, with doing that service for Krishna, mixed with the bodily and material conceptions of life, mixed with the modes of nature. And what are the modes of nature? The modes of nature are strands of matter that facilitate the illusion that we're the center and we're meant to control and enjoy. So he said, very interesting, devotional service can be mixed with modes. So if it's mixed with ignorance, then what happens? When it's mixed with ignorance, we become separatists. And we hate others that don't have our allegiance, that don't have our denomination. In the name of devotion, in the name of worshiping God, wanting to please God, it becomes mixed with this ignorance that I hate others. Or it can be mixed with passion, where in the name of devotion, the name of your service, you do it for your own control and benefit. You may build a big temple, but not for the glorification of Krishna. But you build a big temple so that you get glorified. Therefore, one of the principles of devotional service is one should not have too many children. It says in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindha, don't read too many books. Don't build big temples. Don't take too many disciples. Why? because it's too easy to do these things to yourself. You could read books, not so that you get the understanding and knowledge how to serve. That's the real way to read Shastra. You have to read Shastra in the proper mood. You read Shastra in the mood, instruct me, let me learn how I can become a better servant. But if you read too many books with the idea, let me get knowledge so I can impress people and control people and get more respect, and therefore I can get more enjoyment in the world materially, it's against devotion. Or you can build a temple, not to glorify God, but as a symbol of your own power and greatness. Or you can take disciples, not as a service for the spiritual master, to train people in Krishna consciousness, but to get more followers and get more people to serve you, rather than getting more people to serve Guru and Krishna. So it can be mixed. Or it can be mixed with the mode of goodness. You can perform devotional service to be liberated for yourself, become peaceful for yourself, rather than the prayers of Vritrasura, which are considered by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur in his commentary on the sixth canto as the topmost prayers outside of the prayers of the gopis. And he says, Narayana prasarve nakutas chanya bibhyate swaga pavada narakeshu apituryaktadarshana. One who really loves Krishna, everything he does is for Krishna. Narayana prasarve nakutas swaga pavada narakeshu. He doesn't care if he's in swaga, the heaven, pavada, this earth, hell, apituryaktadarshana. He only wants to give pleasure to Krishna. Doesn't matter where he is. So when bhakti is pure, it has no personal motive. Anya bilashita shunyam jnana karma jnavritam anukulyena krishnanu shilanam bhakta uttama. Anya bilashita shunyam Jnana karma jnana anukulyu inena krishna shilana bhakti. Anya bilashita zero. Anya bilas. No other desires. Of course, anya bilashita, it means not only no desires, no desiredness, no desire with motive. You want to go to the bathroom, it's not against devotional service, even though it's an urge. If you try to save your life, it's not against devotional service, even though it's an urge. But no extraneous motives. So, and obviously, the more you're purified, motive and devotional service and the mode of goodness, and finally, pure goodness, no attachment. In fact, Narada Muni, he got Saksha Darshan. He saw Krishna, but then it said that his devotion had a taint. And what was the taint? He was attached to the peaceful place. Now, the peaceful place gives you a facility for service or meditation. But he was attached, and attachment is the mode of passion. Then he tried to... He got the darshan, and then he wanted it again. He did the same thing, but he wasn't able to attain that darshan because the first time he was doing it in a kind of helplessness. He was just a young boy. He was calling out. He was chanting mantra. And he got it. Now, the second time, something entered into his consciousness. And what's that? I've achieved this. Now, by my power, I can get that darshan. He couldn't get it. Because bhakti cannot come in the consciousness that I can achieve it by my effort. Because as soon as you have that consciousness, I can achieve it by my own effort, you have not understood God. Because God is so great, we cannot earn God. If you think you can earn God, you don't understand the greatness of God. I've mentioned this before in my classes. So the idea is this great, intense effort. But because I can't achieve God, I have to beg. I have to work. I have to chant all day. I have to throw myself on the floor. I'm hopeless. And the only hope I have in my practice is that I understand God is so unfathomably great, and he also has the quality of mercy. And maybe he will notice my humble effort. Just like Garuda and the sparrow. They're both trying to build the bridge for Ram, right? The sparrow, it's Krishna recognizing your effort. It's not your power. It's not your austerity. If you can chant all you want, but if you have that ahankara, and I'm a great meditator, I can chant so many rounds. But if you chant so many rounds, because I'm helpless, I have to cry for Krishna, and I have to show him my effort, then we can get devotion. It comes by mercy, and this is a point. Something as great as God comes by mercy. And mercy is attracted by humility and dependence. When you have humility and you have dependence, which is expressed by service, then you may get the grace of God. So then, and this is the verses we're discussing now, devotion it becomes easier. And the reason devotion is easy, because it has nothing to do with karma. It has nothing to do with karma. And karma means your knowledge, your austerity. It has nothing to do with material qualities. It's beyond any karmic qualification, but it has a qualification of attitude. And attitude is beyond karma. It's surrender. In fact, sometimes the karmic qualification can be a disqualification for bhakti because it can make you proud. As Jiva Goswami said, devotion in the form of kirtan is unlimitedly merciful to those devoid of false prestige. And therefore, Kali Yuga, where we lack qualities, is the best age for devotional service, because it gives the facility for humility. With that help from the inspiration of a pure devotee that gives you some sambandhagyan, where in other ages, devotion was very hard for people to perform because they had so many good qualities. It's like, you know, if you have so many good qualities, you want a challenge. And devotion is not, it's a change of heart. And therefore, Prabhupada says, the process is simple, the application is difficult. It's such a beautiful statement. Process is simple. Because it's universal. Right, Mother Queenie? We've seen young children that are just such great devotees. Right? They just have the heart. They don't have the intelligence. They don't have the sense control. They have the heart. And we see people who are so brilliant that are not good devotees. This is the pride. They're sometimes simple people. And those people have a kind of understanding and realization. So these verses that we're discussing today say devotional service comes easier. Because it's not the process of adding something, it's the process of emptying something. You're not trying to add something by your power. That's karmic, that's difficult. Giving up something, making ourselves an empty vessel, making ourselves dependent at any point, surrendering. And the whole world is about this. The whole world is simply to make us surrender. The whole world is simply to make us understand we're not the controller. It's a very subtle thing, because the world is fulfilling, giving us an opportunity to fill our desires, to be frustrated with that conception. You try to become the enjoyer and controller, time and tide wait for no man. You can't become the controller. We're not the controller. And everyone who's tried to control is lost. Prabhupada called them material protective agents. They fail. Because they're not us. And they're limited. The ascending process is limited by what? Our intelligence, our karma. And no matter how good the karma is, no matter how strong the intelligence is, no matter how much money you have, God is too great to be achieved by material means. Antastu koti sattavatsara sampragamyo. Even by the speed of mind, you can't touch thee. But if you can't touch God, but if God wants to touch you, who can stop you? So Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati said, don't try to see God, but try to act in a way that God wants to see you. It's the core point right in the heart. It's called the ahankara. And the ahankara attaches us to this body. And the whole world, everything we go through is to make us give up that control. I think I read something is, you know, I read some quote someplace. I don't, you know, it's funny. I read it on a bottle or something. I forgot. I bought something. It had like, send in your quotes. Your knowledge means to, you know everything. And wisdom means to let go of everything. In the yoga world is getting a really bad name. Because even the people realize that, I mean, you know, 200-hour yoga thing, you become a yoga guru, right? The highest thing, right? Become a rock star or become a guru. And then people are not trained. People who are in Krishna consciousness and went out and distribute books and served and studied and performed sadhana bhakti. They have some knowledge. The people who just come without any previous training, they don't really have. So all they say in their classes, they try to say, you got to let go. You got to let go. Let go, let go, let go. So what is the depth of that understanding? Let go, let go, let go. Let go of what? You let go of your ego. Renunciation doesn't mean to give up the objects. It means more to give up the conception that they're meant for your enjoyment. You can accept anything. if you understand whose those things are and what they're for. So devotion becomes easier. And then the next verse discusses, because it doesn't depend on any other authority for its validity, being the standard of authority itself. In other words, bhakti is the easiest because it doesn't depend on anything but itself. It's love. It doesn't depend on anything. It doesn't depend on any material qualification. It just depends on itself. And while you can't, let's say you're a yogi, you can't technically immediately fix your mind. But anyone can surrender immediately in 1 minute. You can surrender in 1 minute. It's still hard, but it's a different type of difficulty. It's not materially difficult. It's spiritually difficult. In other words, the ability to do it is within yourself now. The ability to become successful in Gyan is not within you right now. And I think those who have been practicing devotional service for many, many years and looking into their hearts, they are confronted with surrender. They're confronted with surrender. And it's just a choice that one makes. I know Mother Kalini, she's practicing devotional service for many years and she's shaking her head. She knows when you practice devotional service for many, many years, you're down at that point at least. Whether you surrender or not, you're confronting it. You're confronting it. It's easier to give up than get. Just let go. In fact, the Bhagavatam is read in two ways. This is discussed by Jiva Goswami. Bhagavatam is read in two ways. The first way, it gives you instructions. And the instruction is surrender, 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 surrender. But you can't hear the instructions because that's not what you want. Surrender to Guru and Krishna, surrender to Guru and Krishna, surrender to Guru and Krishna, surrender to Guru and Krishna. But it's not what you want. It's not what we want. So we can't hear it. But by hearing it again and again and again, nashta prayeshu abhadreshu, again and again and again, then you surrender. When you surrender, then you begin to experience your relationship with Krishna. Then you read the whole Bhagavatam in a completely different way. You read it in terms of rasa, or your relationship with Krishna. You relish it. You relish it. It's all about love. You don't need to be instructed to surrender. You've already incorporated that. So here it says, there's no authority outside of itself because bhakti sanjayate bhakti. The process is the goal. The only question is maturity. In jnana, the process and the goal is different. The process of jnana is vairagya. The goal is liberation. The practice of karma is sacrifice. The goal is heavenly success. Therefore, it's described that bhakti is susukam kartam abhyam. Susukam kartam abhyam. It's joyfully and everlastingly performed. Everlastingly performed is because you never give it up. And you never give it up because it's the goal itself. And what's the goal? The goal is pleasure. And what is pleasure? Pleasure is love. Pleasure is the energy of God for pleasure, which is love. The essence of God's bliss potency is bhakti. That's the essence of his bliss potency. So you begin with bhakti and you end with bhakti. It's just a question of a unripe fruit and a ripe fruit. We are in the process of bhakti because we have shraddha. We have faith. And what's our faith? Our faith is that experience of bhakti. Somehow or other, Brahmanda Brahmate Konya Bhagavan Jeev Guru Krishna Pasadi Pai Bhakti Lata Beach. We've been wandering from universe to universe, from species of life to species of life. Ramanda Brahmate Konya Bhagavan Jeev Guru Krishna Pasadi Pai Bhakti Lata, until we get to Bhakti Lata Beach. And what is the Bhakti Lata Beach? It's the idea of serving God. And with that idea of serving God is the sublimity of the experience of doing so. And when you get that experience, you will search for that experience the rest of your life. And your goal will be to mature that experience for the rest of your life. The challenge is that we're in a culture, a society that promotes everything else. For example, there's a writer, Tom Wolfe, I quote him often. He said, wrote an essay mocking the 60s generation, calling the me generation. He said they never knew duty before self. And I see it's even worse now. People are not understanding that. We discussed this in my Sanghas on Sunday, that happiness is not the result of any activity, it's the virtue in doing it. If you really want happiness, you do things because they're right. Forget about the result. It's not the fruit of the activity, it's the activity itself. And therefore, dharma is very important. To do what's right, have faith in what's right will lead to auspiciousness. I see too many, Sudevi, Mother Kalini, you must watch it, too many people that are in anxiety, right, because of their situation, rather than realizing the problem is not their situation as much as their attitude towards it. And if you try to change your situation rather than changing your attitude, no matter what situation you're in, you'll wind up with the same problem. Our problem is something lacking in the heart. What's lacking in the heart? It's love that begins with surrender to Krishna. That's it. And if you keep on thinking it's something else, you'll endlessly change your situation. You'll go from one spouse to another. You'll go from one place to another. You'll go from one guru to another. And it's so nice to see people who are beginning to relish the service to Krishna, whether it's taking care of their children or the service to guru. Relishing that. It's so nice. And in those people, there's a certain peacefulness in the heart. And the peacefulness never comes unless you fill the heart with love and surrender and do service. If you don't take care of that, nothing external will make you happy. And that's why we see very powerful and wealthy people, and they want to be politicians. Now they have all the money in the world. I'm still not happy. Well, but not understanding that they're not happy because they're not loving enough, then they try to get more control by being a politician. And then, so it's saying here that bhakti, it's easy to attain and doesn't depend on anything else for its validity. The experience you have itself is the validity. You don't need to attain the goal to have the evidence that this is what you should do. Because you're tasting it. Now, due to offenses, we may cease to taste it, but we may remember it to taste in our innocence. And really, bhakti now for us is recovering our innocence, the simplicity of the service. And then, finally, the verse we read today, furthermore, bhakti is the embodiment of peace and supreme ecstasy, because it's love. And as it says here, when you recognize the supremacy of God, and you can put yourself in a position of service to God, then there's peace in it, then there's peace. There's harmony, because that's what we are as servants of God. And it's not only peace, it's ecstasy. Because in that service to God, there is an energy of God of bliss that flows through your heart. There's an energy of bliss of God that flows through your heart. And Prabhupada called it the peace formula. When you are Gyatvamam, consciousness of God, there's peace. And what's this consciousness of God does not come unless you have the consciousness of service of God. Because if you don't have the consciousness of service of God, you will see everything is separate from God, meant for your enjoyment. When you have consciousness of God, you will see everything is God's energy, and it will inspire within you a devotion in your heart to serve. And that sense of purity has to be focused in the Krishna consciousness movement. Because that's what Prabhupada instilled, and he instilled it through his faithful followers. I'm going to give a little appreciation because you all love him too, of Ram Roy. You know, I'm in the, and wonderful seeing all the advancements he's made by the process of surrender to Guru and Krishna. So he's in New York, and he's 53. And right now the building's under construction. There's no place for him to sleep. And, you know, he's already a nervous person who doesn't sleep well. So it's not very comfortable there for him. But every day he takes out this big cart, you know, wheeling this big shopping cart filled with the dungas and carpets and books. And, you know, and he has to walk every day, you know, like 15 blocks and set it up. You know, but there's faith in what? There's faith in the holy name of Krishna. And his faith in his gurus who have given him the holy name of Krishna coming from Prabhupada. And, you know, it was great. You know, so I really want to encourage him. And So whenever I'm in New York, I try to go out to him. But he reminds me, you're not going out to me, you're going out to you. I said, yes, I know. Because what can be more pleasure than chanting the holy names and giving that to others? I walk with him to Union Square, and the subway comes like right out in the middle of the park. You know, so people are just getting out right in the park, and then they come, there's a nice space, and they're doing kirtan. And what kind of amazes me, too, is that he just went out there with faith, and it's such a wonderful activity for the congregation. It engages people in devotional service, and that's what Prabhupada did. So seeing all these people, one student from NYU, there's one girl that's become a devotee from Princeton. She comes. A god sister who's a professor of Hindi at Princeton. She's visiting her mother in Washington Square Park, sees them, comes out and chants. And remember, she became a devotee in San Francisco, joining a Harinam party. You know, and then I came, and then, you know, Ram Roy had me leave. My forte more in terms of my karma and service is speaking more than singing. But, you know, he felt that as a Maharaj, you know, it's good for me, but it's also good for the party that he's being supported. I had for a short while in it. And then, you know, I just was sitting there. I said, what can be better than this? What can be better than this? Mother Queenie and Sudevi, if you're feeling okay after the Rathyatra on Sunday, they're trying to get everybody to go to Union Square Park and have one Harinam party, you know, maybe. And what can be better than this? And I'm thinking like that, chanting the names of God from your heart and getting the reciprocation of Lord Chaitanya as Sankirtanaika Pitaro. He is the father of Sankirtan. He is the father of Sankirtan. See, so Sankirtan is his son, right? You please the son, you please the parents, right? Now you're seeing your son Ram with his daughter, right? Right? If you want to please Ram, you please, right, his daughter. So the son of so it's that reciprocation for Lord Chaitanya. I mean, it's wonderful. And then I'm seeing, you know, and it's not, you know, I can't, you know, the party is mixed. There's some people that are very respectable. You know, one lady came from work very well dressed and a student. And then there's some crazy hippie that comes every day with far out, you know what I'm saying? And some guy with a black skirt, no shirt, that's dancing wildly, you know. And, you know, material calculation, how we look, how is it presented, you know what I'm saying? And then some young people came out, one Nittai from, he's in that Kirtaniyas, that Kirtanpa, and then Hari Priya's son, Kana, very nice looking and a good Kirtaniya. He was there, and they began to chant. And, you know, a few others that are coming regularly. Kaliya Krishna, and as you know, very nice devotees. And the kirtan's going, and I'm watching, you know, 50, 60 people, you know, just mesmerized. And I'm not, you know, not hippies, not bums from the park. Very nice looking people. Just chant. And after the kirtan stops, you hear applause and people are coming up. But the thing is, the concept of service is so beautiful. He wants to do it. Why? To please. It's not something you do for yourself, Bhakti, actually. It is for yourself. It's the best thing for yourself, and you can hear it's the best thing for yourself. But what it is love. The best thing for yourself is not to be for yourself. So you may do it for yourself, but the goal is not for yourself. It's to actually have love and just want to surrender to Krishna, want to give your life to Krishna. So this is it. And when you do that, there's peace. One, because it is what you are, and peace is harmony with what you are. And what you are is a receptacle of love, which is the energy of pleasure in this world. We inherently know it. Regarding happiness, Srila Rupa Goswami defines three types: happiness derived from material enjoyment, two, happiness derived by identifying oneself with the Supreme Brahman, and three, happiness derived from Krishna consciousness. Rupa Goswami's conclusion is that happiness derived from pure bhakti is the highest because it is eternal, whereas material enjoyment, even one that's with Brahman, is bound to be disrupted. So there's duality. If your happiness will end, you can't be happy with it. Happiness and devotional service is open to all, but those who try to increase their own importance cannot know the sweetness of Krishna consciousness. Happiness comes not by trying to be the master, but by becoming the servant of the servant of the Supreme Master. While praying to the Supreme Lord for relief from his suffering, engender praise the happiness of the devotees. Unalloyed devotees who have no desire other than to serve the Lord, worship him in full surrender, and always hear and chant about his activities, which are most wonderful and auspicious, thus they always merge in an ocean of transcendental bliss. Such devotees never ask the Lord for any benediction. Wow, great. Anybody like to ask any questions?
Hare Krishna, Maharaj.
This is Gail. Hare Krishna, who's that? Yeah.
This is Gail.
Okay. Otherwise known as Garangi, name given by Sita.
Well, I have a comment and a question. Since you were speaking about Ram Roy today, I was speaking with him also yesterday, and it was inspiring to hear him, like, in the mood of somebody, like, having to finally admit something, say that, it's like he just had to admit, I'm addicted to it. I can't, or he actually said, I can't live without it, actually. I just can't live without it. Talking about Kirtan. Kirtan, whatever.
Being with him, I kind of felt like I can't live without it, but I don't have it. He's there in New York every time. Yeah, go ahead.
And so I asked him, I told him that, boy, I can't wait until I also feel like I can't live without it. And his response to that was, he used some Sanskrit words, sadhana leaves the city or something like that, basically meaning, practice makes perfect, just practice, and then you come there. Anyway, so that was the comment.
Thank you. That's nice.
Yeah, but my question is, I'm always confused about whether the desire, because you said that if you're doing any devotional service, or if you're doing an activity for yourself, it's not devotional service. And so I'm wondering if, the desire that I have, is in the category of devotional service or not. And the desire is, if I perform the activities of devotional service, I am doing that because it's not really for Krishna's happiness. I'm doing it because I'm hoping that by the chanting or by the whatever I'm doing, that eventually that spontaneous loving relationship will come. But I want that spontaneous loving relationship for the sake of my own happiness. You know, not my focus is not so much on Krishna's happiness. And so because I want our relationship for the sake of my own happiness, I'm not sure if it falls under devotional service, or is it devotional service but just a low grade, or what?
Well, to give you some solace, Gail, Hakama Sarvakama Va Moksha Kama Udarade Dvraini Bhakti Yogena Yajeta Parashampram. It says, whether it's for you or not for you, Hakama Sarvakama Moksha, whether you have all desires, no desires, desire liberation, if you perform devotional service, you'll be purified. So that's the solace. And there's also that very, very subtle point, very, very subtle point that we are sentient, so we have a desire, and we desire to be happy. And there's nothing wrong with the desire to be happy. It's only, and that's an expression of the soul, because we have a desire to be happy. It's just the nature of the soul to be happy. But happiness is when you have love. And love means you're no longer concerned with your own desire. You're concerned mm-hmm. with the desire of your beloved. Mm-hmm. And that gives you pleasure. But it's still a desire. It's just called love.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So okay. I wouldn't worry about it, Gail. I think you should want to have a spontaneous desire. And, you know, maybe it's mixed. Maybe it's not mixed. You know, you want to love Krishna. Maybe it's mixed with some psychology. Maybe it's an expression of the soul. But it's the right desire. And understand what the fulfillment of that desire means. It means ashlishyava pararatam panastumam madarshanam mamahatam karotuva. You may make me brokenhearted by not being present before me. You may crush me by your embrace. But you're my Lord, birth after birth. So you'll come to a point. And I'm meditating on myself, you know. When I catch myself too often in the consciousness of selfishness. And then what I want is the consciousness of selflessness. I want to open my arms. I want to give myself. I want to not be concerned for my selfish desires. So that's a desire, too. I know it's a feeling in the heart of surrender. I want it. But it's not material. It's not karmic. So I can't analyze, you know, it's probably, yes, sometimes it's mixed with the psychology we have, sometimes it's not. But the real desire for spontaneous love is what? That I don't want to be concerned for myself anymore. That's what you're desiring. But it's still a desire. You can't get away from it. And desire means something you want. What you want is to be selfless and loving and have that flow spontaneously through your heart. So is that mixed with some tinge of selfishness? Probably in the material conception it is. But it's a glorious desire to want spontaneous love for God and an intimate relationship with God and be attracted. But understand it's love. It's wanting to be not about myself. It's wanting to be just spontaneous love means I just want Krishna, please. I don't care about myself. But you're not caring about yourself. You're caring about yourself. Because what we are is a particle of consciousness. We're meant for that love. And we have to transcend everything else. And we have to surrender to it. And we have to do whatever we want for it.
Yeah, well, that answers it for me. Thank you, Maharaj.
Gail, I really pray for you that you get what
Thank
you,
you
want.
Thank you so much. Thank you very
because
much.
Because I know your desire is very, very strong. And you don't see it, but I see it, that you're progressing. Hare Krishna.
Thank you.
Okay, anybody else? Anybody else like to say hello to us here in Desant Falls? You say hello to Mother Kalini, Sue Devi. You say Hare Krishna. Hello, Hare Krishna. Anybody else?
Hare Krishna, Guru Maharaj. This is Bajrade.
Bajrade, Hare Krishna. I'm definitely planning to come over for lunch.
Next week is fine, Maharaj, like next Saturday or Sunday.
What's that?
Next Saturday or Sunday, is it okay with you?
No.
For coming lunch prasadam.
No, I'm not free. Because Saturday is Rati Yatra, and Sunday I'll probably go to the kirtan. Anyway, it'll happen. You have to. Anybody else like to say hello? Okay, we can end now. Let me call for 2 seconds.